to dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah. Yeah.
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat!
I got one!
Oh, William, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler. And welcome. It's going to be a good show tonight. We're going to talk about the local scene, what to expect. The main topic tonight is going to be vertical jigging, and we had a request to talk about spade fish, which at this past weekend, the numbers I saw at the tower and down in at Chesapeake Light Tower, and down at the G Tower out of Oregon Inlet, the numbers are just insane. And also around the Bay Bridge Tunnel, too, just amazing, the numbers of spade fish that are around this year. So let's get right to it. We're going to start off with local reports. And we're going to start off with down in South Carolina. After the tropical storm Beryl kind of blew out most of the water and everything last weekend, the tree hugger, the godfather Chip Gibson just posted up on the chat room that we are simulcasting now on Shoutcast. That's awesome sauce. All right, cool. All right, so let's talk about down South Carolina with that tropical storm that went through, kind of muddied up the water pretty bad. I heard the fishing was pretty rough for that area. But this past weekend, I heard some really good reports of some nearshore kingfish, i.e. king mackerel, being caught along with some cobia inside Charleston Harbor itself. Those are really good signs for that area, along with the drum and everything else. So definitely, if you're down there, if you're looking to get in some bigger fish, that's what I would do right now, especially at the water temps pushing a little over 80 degrees. That's just awesome. Also, I'm going to head up to North Carolina. For those of us that live close enough, cobia are being caught pretty much right outside of Oregon Inlet. Ran through there on Sunday, and my buddy's 31-foot contender. And the numbers of cobia setting themselves by the buoys in and around Oregon Inlet were just amazing. Through a couple of bucktails at them, hooked up on one but lost them, but really good sign for that, along with some big drum around Ocracoke and inside the sound there, along with spade fish. There were spade fish floating around a bunch of those buoys, too. So definitely check that out. Heading up to Delaware, heard some really good reports on some flounder recently caught this past weekend by some folks, which is a great thing to see up there. Same thing in Maryland. I mean, the flounder bite up there has just been really good this past week. We had some storms that rolled through throughout the week, but it's really, really nice stuff being caught. And then down in Virginia, if it's around, you can get it pretty much right now. We have some really good water, really clean water. But, you know, you're looking at, let's say, the Bay Bridge Tunnel. You've got pretty much the usual suspects are around. The spade fish are around, which, you know, in good numbers, surprising that they showed up in such a mass already. But then again, they've been around for about a month. Sheepies are starting to move in. So get your sand fleas, get your fiddler crabs if you need them, and bang out on some of them. Really good flounder bite. Passed the first small boat channel in Virginia Beach. Can't go wrong there. Also, in Lynn Haven, folks, don't discredit Lynn Haven. The puppy drummer in there. There's a good amount of them. What you're going to want to look for is where there's very little motorboat presence, i.e. way in the back. You'd be surprised. A 35, 40-minute paddle to the back area there in the main basin will produce some really nice fish. Was out there 2 days ago, I think it was, Monday night, and pulled a couple of puppy drum, which surprised me. They were staging in the sloughs at low tide, waiting for high tide to come up so they can flood back into the grasses and flats. So definitely get out there, get on them. All the puppy drum were caught on the Slayer SST, chicken off the chain. So definitely check that out at slayerinc.com. All right. We've got a group of folks in the chat room. That's good to see. We got a caller. Hang on. Hey, code 678, you're on the air.
Just listening, Bob.
All right, cool, man. All righty, we got a listener on the chat in there. Let's see, again, a welcome to Mr. Chip Gibson. Our guest, remember, guests, you could always call in or join the chat if you're on the Kayak Fishing Radio page. On the very bottom of that chat room there thing, you see sign in or register. Just click the sign in button. It's going to bring up the Blog Talk Radio sign. Click the Facebook page. As long as you have Facebook open and running, you can run your fingers on the keyboard and sign right in. Have no issues whatsoever. And join us in all the fun. Like I said, Chip Gibson, the guest, Mr. Hammerhead Greg Chris, what's going on, man? King Rat out of Williamsburg, what's going on? Mr. Laser 88, hey, buddy. Sorry you missed. Laser had a really big fish at the HRBT recently that I saw on his blog post. If you could post that up your blog, Laser, I'll send that out to everyone. Everyone says it's a reg. I think it was a big black drum. I caught a black drum out there last year. Pretty much did the same thing to me, just dogged me straight down. Couldn't get barely anything on him until about 30, 45 minutes into the fight, then he finally came up. So definitely check that, it could be an option for you, especially if you hit a minnow like that. Same thing happened to me. Mr. the infamous, but lovely, Mr. Redfish Chuck, what's going on, man, out of Titusville, Florida. Remember, folks, if you're heading down towards Florida around the Orlando Space Coast area, and you're looking to do some kayak fishing with an excellent guide and guy, check out Chuck's Kayak Adventures. Really one heck of a guy. You get to fish the ever illustrious brain fart. Mosquito Lagoon. You hear us all talk about. And of course we have Mr. Yak Chum. What's going on, man? Up in Jersey. So let's get right into the topic of the night, and that's vertical jigging. I love vertical jigging. And it's easier than most people think. And let me break down what vertical jigging is. Okay. Because I know when people start thinking vertical jigging, you've got to go ahead and you're basically being spastic almost, reeling in the line real fast. Not so, in a sense. Vertical jigging can be as simple as sending down a bucktail, letting it hit bottom, however far you want to go, and just lifting the rod tip and letting it fall. That's jigging, folks. That's vertical jigging, because your line's vertical. But We're going to talk about speed jigging, the butterfly jigging, and, you know, techniques on how to, you know, use them in a kayak. Was out on Sunday and vertical jigged up a bunch of amberjacks in the kayak. And it was a lot of fun. when you're sitting there and you're cranking, all of a sudden you get hammered. When you think you're going too fast, fast isn't fast enough with this technique. So we're going to go ahead and talk about that and then hit spade fish here in a couple minutes. So what kind of tackle are you looking for? There are several companies that make vertical jigging specific rods and reels. And the first one that comes to my mind, if you're trying to save some money, is the Akuma line. Akuma makes some excellent vertical jigging rods. And that's your bread and butter right there, is the rod. You need something that's going to quickly recover. So you need a good fast taper, some backbone in it. So this way you get, you know, a little give, but also, or excuse me, a little bit of backbone for when the fish hits and you, in the fight, but also a little bit of tips. This way you can really get a good action going. And we'll talk about the action and how to work the bait in a minute. But when the Cedros and Andros line of vertical jigging rods are great. They're fairly cheap. We're talking under $200. And they have a great warranty on them as well. They're comfortable. I prefer them. I own the Cedros rod. It's short. It's comfortable. It's definitely a must-have if you're looking to start getting into it. But if you're looking to spend the money and go with Shimano, Shimano makes a great one. I believe Daiwa makes one also. All the major companies, saltwater companies, nowadays make a specific vertical jigging, butterfly jigging rod of some sort. But it's definitely a thing if you want to, you know, really get into it. Next thing in line is the reel. This is not the time to buy, you know, a 3-to-1, 4-to-1, 5-to-1 action reel, folks. You're going to want, you know, a 7-to-1 high speed, you know, set the line on fire kind of reel. Again, Akuma makes a great reel. The Cedros high speed spinning reel is a great option, especially if you don't want to deal with you know, a bait casting reel. But personally, if you're just starting off, and this is the, you know, just, like I said, if you're just starting off with this technique, go spinning all the way. It'll be easier on you. You won't have to worry about line backlashes or trying to work the reel. And actually, here he is, the infamous Redfish Chuck. What's going on, man?
Yo.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, sir.
Good, good, good.
Started talking about one of my favorite topics.
Butterfly jigging?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. So what rod and reel do you have for this stuff?
I use a high-speed reel. I use an Avid LX6. It's got a 6-to-1 gear ratio. I've got that particular reel spooled basically top to bottom with hollow core, 65-pound hollow core. It's got a small amount of backing on it, about 50-pound monofilament. The rod it sits on is a Shimano Travala.
Ooh.
I believe it's a 5. No, I think it's a 6.2, maybe.
Right.
It's the medium heavy. It's not the super heavy. So I think it's rated up to about 100-pound braid.
Yeah. I love that Akuma. Cedros. That's the high speed spinning reel. That thing it just feels so right. Big handle on it. And I've got the same thing, that medium heavy, the one in between of everything else. You know, just for everything, you know, amberjack, tuna to stripers, you know, no, don't have to worry about anything. It's got enough backbone to handle it all. So you got the Holocore Ace. Why do you prefer the Holocore, man?
I just like Holocore because it lays flat and I can fit more of it on a reel. And I like to be able to splice my leaders in. I don't like to tie knots when I'm jigging or when I'm using anything conventional wise. Whether we're tuna fishing by way of trolling or if we're jigging or what have you, I like everything to be spliced so there's no knots and I have, you know, little resistance going through the guides. So
definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's nice when you can splice a line through, no knot knock or any worries about not busting loose.
Yeah, when you take that 65 pound holocore and jam, you know, 50 or 60 pound either fluorocarbon or monofilament up inside of it, and run it in about 8 to 10 feet, it acts as that Chinese finger cuffs. And I always serve it at the end and lock it off anyway, but, you know, a lot of folks will just leave it the way it is. I mean, it ain't coming out once it's in there. But it's and Jerry Brown makes probably one of the best holocores on the market for anybody thinking
right.
about trying to get into vertical jigging. The Jerry Brown stuff is pretty hard to beat.
Oh, yeah. I go old school. I use the Daiwa Samurai, which is, you know, because it got the mark, you know, I think it is every 10 yards, it's a different color on the line. And then I run a 30-pound Spro swivel on the end to 8 feet of fluorocarbon. That's, I think I got 80-pound on there because we were going after tuna this past weekend. 80-pound on there with 80-pound fluoro. But that swivel, I love that thing, so this way I don't have any line twist on it. Makes things definitely nice. Plus it passes through the guides really, really cleanly. But all right, so you got basically how me and Chuck set up our rigs. But the Holocore, I think that's going to be a full topic of a show coming up here soon. And how to splice line and stuff like that is definitely an art. I know the Holocore Ace, you can get away with not needing any needles or anything like that. Doing it old Dacron. Remember having to do that, man?
Yeah, Dacron sucked.
God.
The old school stuff, man. You about give yourself about 3 hours to sit there and try and splice, man. You'd probably cut off about 15 feet just trying to get to a good spot where, you know, it just opens wide open for you. At least that was always my my findings with the old school stuff. But, yeah, the new stuff is pretty sweet. I cheat, man. I use the needles because it's easy to start it that way. And
yeah.
You know, it's I don't know, man. That's the way to fish if you're gonna try and vertical jig, in my opinion, whether it's on a spinner rod or on a conventional reel, and you can still do the same thing.
Yep. Yeah. I whip it half, you know, as soon as I'm done, pull it out, whip it on the end. I never have to worry about it when I do it. Let's see here. We talked about line leader. You actually asked about line twist. That's why I had that on my spinning setup. I've got two setups. I have a conventional and I have a spinning. My conventional, I have the same thing. I have a Avid MXG high speed. I think it's the one. It's comfortable. I can palm the side of the reel, which when we talk about technique is what you're going to really want to pay attention to. That's 30-pound Spro barrel swivel is key in my mind for the spinning setup. And it's a small swivel. And it's used in offshore fishing. And I never really would have thought about that until I talked to a couple of the captains out here. And it's what they use. You don't have to worry about the line twist as much, especially with a lot of your stiffer braids, you have this issue. And, folks, do yourself a favor. Don't think you're not going to use guano, you're not going to use fluorocarbon, you're not going to get the action you need, or the hookups. You definitely want to use braid. I can't stress that enough. A good braid. Not the time to be buying something real cheap. Get yourself some good braid. The Samurai is a good one. The hollow cores are great. There's a bunch of companies out there that make some really good hollow core baits, or braids, I should say. So definitely do your research, get by the braid, and fill the rod and reel up, the reel up with it. It'll be worth your time. You know, maybe 50 yards of backing, if that, and then fill it full of braid. So, talked about all that. Let's talk about the different jigs out there in the world. And we're going to break down the simplest and easiest one that everyone has who saltwater fishes, and that's a bucktail. Yes, that's a jig. And you're not going to speed jig a bucktail, per se. I guess you could. But the simplest and easiest way that catches a lot of fish, sitting down at the bottom, taking the rod and lifting it up and dropping it back down. Lift it up and drop back down. Very effective on flounder, stripers, red drum, black drum, cobia, amberjack, your next door neighbor. I mean, just it's the simplest and easiest one. You can tip it with a large gulp. You can tip it with just a plain curly tail, a paddle tail, a chunk of meat. It's one of the oldest and you know, a great bait for those of us out there who don't want to be trying too hard. And then we're going to talk about another one, a diamond jig. Those up in the Northeast know what diamond jigs are and love them. For stripers, but I tell you, they are great for amberjack. you can really do a lot of damage. Same kind of technique, and this is where having a graph, a fish finder is going to help you to show you the bottom, to show you what's on the bottom, and you're basically going to send it down, let it hit bottom. Same thing. What I find works is, if 3 ounces of lead would hold bottom and keep you vertical, you're going to want to go to like 4 ounces, 5 ounces. You're going to want a heavier diamond jig. And the reason for that is you want that thing to puff on the bottom. You're looking for a softer bottom. Please don't try to do this over rocks. You will get it caught with that treble hook on there. But soft bottom, when you lift it up, and you're not going to follow that line back down. You're going to let it want to come down on a free fall and punch the sand, the mud, the gravel. You want that puff, okay? The moment it hits, you let it sit there for a second and rip it up again. That is key for that attraction. You're imitating a bait fish coming up and out of that sand or diving into the sand or mud or whatever, and that puff, that's going to get stripers, blues, stuff like that. For those of us that are into catch and release, those big, or fish around rocks a lot, those big treble hooks are a problem, okay? Simplest thing to do, change out that split ring that's on there, put a nice big split ring, and then match the ounce times 2, or plus 2, I believe it is, that's how I have it set up. So if I have a 1 ounce, I have a 2 ounce, a 2-odd circle hook. Nice heavy duty, extra strong circle hook. And it's pretty simple. That fish is going to hit it. He's going to take off. You don't do anything. You just hold it. And he's going to hook himself. Circle hooks for vertical digging is a great technique. that I don't think it's really caught on just yet, because people really like to set the hook. A lot of times the fish does get hooked in the side of the mouth. But for diamond jigs, and you're looking for catch and release, especially if there's a lot of bluefish, having that circle hook where you just grab it with a pair of pliers and give it a twist, it drops out, is key. You guys use diamond jigs down in Florida, buddy?
Yeah, well, some of us still use diamond jigs down here. Most of the guys that are dropping irons are dropping butterfly-style jigs or flat-sided jigs.
Right.
Like Williams makes them, and a couple other companies. Spro makes a few, too. We typically just go with the stinger hooks. Either the owners or Gamagatsu make them as well.
Right.
And for the fish we're targeting, groupers, snappers, kingfish, that kind of thing, wahoo, dolphin, whatever, we use just retardedly giant hooks for the size of the jig we're dropping. Usually we'll drop a jig of maybe 6 ounces, and we'll put 4, 5, 6-aught hooks on them, and we'll usually run 2 hooks dangling off the top, traditional butterfly style.
Right.
Split ring, solid ring, tie off to the solid ring, and I like that setup much better than a traditional tie straight to the jig type of a scenario, because when the fish eats our speed jigs, you're fighting the fish from the ring, not from the jig,
exactly.
Which is a big deal. You know, the jig's not working as a prior to pop the hook out of the fish's face. And believe it or not, down here, you kind of hit the nail on the head with slapping the bottom. Down here, while most of our amberjack usually stay up off the bottom about, 20, 30, 40 feet up above the wreck or reef or whatever you're fishing, most of them do most of their feeding down on the bottom. And one of their favorite things to eat down here is flounder. And it sounds kind of crazy, but if you catch an AJ, it's about 65 pounds or bigger, and cut its belly open, and 9 times out of 10, they'll have several flounder in their belly. And
cool.
Yeah, you'll find a lot of times when you slap the bottom with the jig, you'll get a really good, quick hookup, and it's usually pretty good, man. And the grouper, the snapper, all that kind of thing, it works well for them, too. I personally really like the jig for pelagics. That's kind of my thing. And, pull up on like a weed line or something like that, or a board or a pallet or something floating, send a jig down about 60 feet and rip it to the surface. There's not a whole lot of things that's cooler than that. I mean, it. Anyone
yeah.
who's done it knows that it's way cooler to feel that bite, the aggro that's sent down on that jig, as opposed to just eating a piece of bait. It's a completely different bite. It's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Those AJs I was catching, the faster the better kind of thing, but we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to get back to diamond jigs. If you use a circle hook, you'd be surprised at how well it actually does work, and leave it in the same position that it normally would be. Now on to what Chuck was just talking about, the butterfly flat-sided jigs. A couple of great companies out there that make them. Shimano makes some great ones. And there's different sizes and shapes, and it's more of finding the one that fits you the best. Williamson, those are the ones I use. The reason is they come with some great hooks already on them. They're the owner hooks, and they're already pretty ready. All you have to do is take them out of the package, throw a Palomar knot or a nail knot, I guess is the other one, on there. You don't want to do a cinch. You want something that you can have confidence in all the way, because you will be catching some big fish on this. And the anger issues with those fish when they hit it is pretty intense. So we're going to go with, and buy a jig that for your area. If you're fishing only 50 feet of water, you don't need an 8-ounce jig, per se. A good start is... A great start for, let's say, in the bay or any inshore waters, probably be a 4-ounce jig. That's a really good beginning. My kids are yelling at me. Are a really good start. Colors, any of the pinks work great. Blue, back, silver belly, any of the glows, especially if you're working the jig at night, which is my favorite time to run it. Leave it in the lights for while you're running out there, or leave it on the dashboard all day long and keep a light on it until you get out there. Trust me, it is amazing when you run that jig and at night and you see it coming up, and all of a sudden here comes a big old AJ, yellowfin tuna, Dorado, striper, for instance, coming up out of the depths to hit this thing with so much anger. It's pretty cool. Buy a bunch of jigs, and please hook them on the top. These fish are going to come in and attack this jig from the top. Okay, that's why they have those hooks up there. So remember that. These fish aren't going to be coming up and trying to eat from the bottom. They're coming up and trying to swallow it from head first, per se, and dive back down. So a good drag is a must. And, get those hooks on the top. Buy some extra ones. If they start to get nasty, change them out. You won't lose as many fish. But go out, look around, find the jigs you need, and have fun with it. Now, technique. Chuck, what's your favorite, or do you have a preferred jigging technique for the speed jigs?
Honestly, for me, it just depends on the species I'm trying to target. The pelagics, I move it really quick. In fact, I don't even jig it as much as I just straight reel it.
Right.
The AJs and the groupers and the snappers and stuff, it's I like to use a long stroke when I go to jig. Sometimes even I won't use a jigging rod per se. I'll go back to like the old school Florida snapper rod type style where it's about an 8-foot boat rod and just use a really long sweeping kind of pull and let that
right.
jig just flutter back down to the bottom. But for most of what I do, the pelagics, it's almost like spastic, reel as fast as you possibly can to get back to the boat. We use a lot of that down here, especially, again, around the floating debris and stuff, where everybody else will pull up on it in the springtime and troll past it and not pull a dolphin off it or a wahoo or whatever and, pick up and run. We'll pull up to it, cut the motors off, and float inside that bunch of debris and stuff and drop the jigs down or, paddle up to an area that you know is holding some kingfish and do the same thing, and drop the jigs down and then just crank them as fast as you can and try and simulate, like, flying fish or ballyhoo trying to get out of the water and get away from everything. So, yeah, it's interesting, man. You'll find, especially region to region, the fish, even the same species of fish, react differently region to region. So, but that's kind of like
right.
how we do it down here. And it's funny because, like you were mentioning cobia earlier, our cobia down here are kind of lazy and dumb. And if you drop a jig, especially a vertical jig, just a normal, butterfly style jig. If you drop a normal butterfly style jig down to the bottom here and slowly bring it up, a lot of times you'll get the other things, the small sea bass and things like that, to try and follow it up well, get the cobia's attention, and those stupid things will follow it all the way up to the boat before they finally decide to eat it. So, yeah, it's different.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where I find that, species specific is key. If you're fishing for a grouper or AJs and you can tell they're on the bottom, you don't need to rake it all the way to the surface. I find that when I'm working the bottom, let's say those tuna have sounded and they're hugging the bottom and they've got a bait school pin on the bottom, I won't bring it maybe two, maybe three cranks off the bottom sometimes, especially for, sea bass
and you know, AJ's on the bottom. You don't need to bring it off the bottom, per se. Now, if they're, you know, suspended mid-level, oh yeah, I'm going to bring it from the bottom straight through the school and let them try to tackle it there. It's definitely a lot of fun. And Chuck made a great point. Fast is almost not fast enough for your pelagics. If you do a mothership trip or you go down, you know, to an area where you can catch right off the beach from a paddle out, what you're going to want to do is paddle out or get out to where you're going to go. And the technique is this. You're not going to cast these jigs. Please do not cast these. Cast, if you're going to cast and you need to cast, buy a wax wing jig from Shimano, if that's your fancy. But this, the bait does not work very well when you have an angle and a line. Now, if you're trying to get to the bottom and you're drifting really fast, then please cast it uphill or upstream, I guess the best way to, or downstream, I guess the best way to put it, in the direction you're drifting. By the time it gets to the bottom, you're pretty much going to be vertical. And my personal belief is if you're using a spinning setup, the moment that line goes slack, I'm reeling, and I'm not stopping until the fish hits, until it gets to the surface. So send it out there, let it hit bottom, engage the reel, and just reel. It's the easiest way to do it. What you're looking to do is for that fish to be swimming by, okay, and fish are stupid, folks. So they're swimming, all of a sudden something comes shooting by them, okay? What that's going to do is, and you know, even if they're not feeding, it's going to induce a reaction, okay? Where they're going to come out of nowhere and just want to annihilate it. Because why is that running away is kind of their mindset, I guess is the best way to put it. And it's running away for a reason. I got to eat that. And that's what they're going to do. So they come in, they're going to hammer it, and take off. If you're in 3 feet of water, you're not going to vertical jig it very well underneath your kayak. But send it down, scream it back up. Now, if I'm using a conventional reel, that's when I'll do the spastic style, the jig itself. And it's pretty easy. And here's how I do it on a conventional reel. Many conventional reels, unless you find some or get a custom-made left-handed set up with the handles on the left side, you're going to stick, we're going to go with the right-hand style, the usual one. You're going to palm the side of the vertical jig, or the reel, okay? This is where good, setup is key. okay. When it hits bottom, engage the reel, and actually circle, make a circle with your hands, or with the rod, okay? At the same time you're circling it, you will naturally reel. Okay, you're not trying to do it, up and down per se, until you get really adept at the hand-eye coordination kind of thing. But if you circle, you will naturally do that, reel it in. Okay, and fast again is not fast enough within technique-wise. When you're bringing it up, okay, the rod goes up. Take a step back here. When the reel handle is in, we're going to call it the 12 o'clock position, okay, completely vertical, your rod tips up. When the rod tip goes down, your hand goes to the 6 o'clock. It goes back up, it goes to the 12. That right there is how simple it is, okay? Starting off, do it kind of slow until you get really proficient at it. Speed it up as you get better. to the point where it's almost fluid, and you'd be surprised at how well you can do on pulling up some fish that normally don't work or don't want to hit. So as long as you can do that, you know, work that vertical jig is going to be is the key. The action of the bait, okay? Even on a straight reel, that bait's going to wobble and twist, okay? So don't, if you just want to scream it by them, you know the tuna AJs are down there, and your left arm starts getting tired, feel free to just reel as fast as you can up. It'll do all the action for you. Give it a pause, you know, here and there, to really get that going. Chuck mentioned it's one of his favorites. It is my absolute favorite once I get in 50 feet of water. I really enjoy speeding it through there. and Chuck, there will be flounder in October. Trust me, buddy. There's no wrong way of doing it. I know Spanish Fly TV with the late Jose Wahebe, there's a great video on YouTube, if you can find it, on him explaining his technique on how he vertical jigs, and he was a vertical jigging freak in the past six, seven years. So definitely buy some jigs, buy some, you know, a rod or two, a good high-speed reel, play around with it, research it, and get out there and have some fun with it. You can really do some damage on some fish. It's just too cool for school, personally, for me. All right. Now, let's see here. Hey, Chuck, do you have anything else to add?
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle.
What the heck's a boondoggle? That's right, folks, the boondoggle. If you don't know, now you know. Hang on.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Yes, folks, October 5th through the 8th is the boondoggle. Held up here in Virginia Beach, Virginia. It will be a fun time for all. Flounder will be here, striper will be here, drum will be here. Basically, everything is going to be feeding up to head south, which is going to be epic. So for more information, go to yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information. All right, spade fish, yes, the infamous spade, let me take a step back before we hit spades and amberjacks. I'm going to just quell a myth. You can eat amberjacks, folks. Please do. It is an excellent fish, great white flaky meat. It holds well on the grill. Nine times out of ten, the worms are in the tail. Just cut them out. You won't have any issues. Okay? All right. I see something going. Sorry, folks. Children are up still. So, spadefish. What do you need for a spadefish? Basically, anything. I use a light rod. Okay. A trout rod works great. Something limber. With maybe I use 10-pound braid to 20-pound braid. Okay. Now with spade fish, they are very line shy. Okay. Very sensitive to terminal tackle. So go ahead and use 15-pound fluorocarbon, all right? That is what I use. That's the heaviest I'll go. If they're being really line shy, I'll drop all the way down to 10. And it just, it's one of those love-hate relationships. And yes, spadefish eat the spear with that big bony head of theirs. Arlie, give me a call later, and we'll talk about getting you on some spear shotted spadefish. But you're gonna go ahead. You're gonna go out there. Chesapeake Bay Bichon. We'll talk about that. That's the easiest for any of us. Get out there, paddle around, take your time. I'll really start looking for them once I'm about 200 yards off the beach. Look around the pylons. They'll be sitting there, cruising around. And what you're going to want to do is take your time and really inspect those pylons, because they'll come up and take a look at the kayak. Once you see one, that's where you're going to want to focus. So you've got your rod, you got your braid, you got your leader, okay? How I set mine up, I use a small piece of split shot, and I'm using about a 3-4 foot leader. So I put the split shot about 3 feet above my hook. And my favorite hook is a Mustad Gold size 1 octopus hook, inline octopus hook. I'll even drop it down to a size 3 if they're really finicky. Gold hook, bronze hook, and, you know, it's all preference. Right now I've been doing really well on a size 3, extra strong mosquito hook, octopus style is the best way to put it, snelled on the 15-pound fluorocarbon with just enough split shot weight, meaning one little split shot to help get it through the current down the 3-4 feet that they're coming up at. Clam. And yes, gummy bears, surprisingly, are gummy worms. The clear gummy worms are my favorites. And that is a no joke on the gummy worms. Especially the clear ones you can find, in the gummy bear, gummy worm style, work great. But if you don't believe me, that's fine. Go ahead and use clam. It's the easiest one to get a hold of. And all you're going to do is you're going to buy some chowder clams. I go with about a half dozen usually. Take that clam. Take two clams in your hands. One on your left, one on your right. Crack them together. Open them up. Then you'll use a pair of scissors. Remove a small strip of that foot in the clam. I'm talking maybe an eighth inch to quarter inch wide, maybe an inch long. Thread that on the hook. Okay, now you've seen the spadefish, you're all rigged up and ready to roll. Make a cast up current. Let that start to drift down in them. If you still want to be able to see it, this is one of the techniques. Just coming through, that's the pylons. That spadefish comes up and eats it. Okay? As soon as he does, real tight, okay? Make sure you have that slack line when you begin with. As soon as he hits it, come tight, set the hook, and get over top of them, because they're going to try to get you through around those pylons. The way I do it, is the moment I hook into them, I stick the rod in between my legs, and pin it underneath my butt, and then I paddle once or twice to get myself going, reel, keep tight, and follow them around those pylons until I can get them out into open water. And then it's just strictly bulldog fight. A super light drag to get them in close to you. Chuck says shrimp bits is a great is another great bait. And then Yechum asks about gulp bait. No, gulp bait I have not had any luck with. The key here is that spadefish don't eat clam, they don't eat shrimp, they're jellyfish eaters, okay? So you're trying to imitate that jellyfish, per se. And they will eat clams like that. And a shrimp bit is just taking a shrimp, deshelling it and cutting a small strip out of it. You know, like if you were, let's say, fishing for croaker with shrimp, same kind of thing, small spot. But, you know, small, the spadefish have really small mouths. And that's, you know, that's why you're looking at that size 3 hook. So you get them in close, net them. Because remember, we're using a really small hook. They have sandpaper mouths, and they will tear up that leader something fierce, especially if it's deep. Heavy split shot. I'm not using I kind of go with how fast the current's moving. I'll buy one of those rotating packs that you can buy from, like, Walmart. It has, you know, the itty-bitty ones to the little bit larger ones. I think it's like up to a 16th of an ounce, whatever. And I'll just put one on there. If the current's really running, I don't like using a lot of weight for them in this technique. And that I'll just, you know, go a little farther up in the current and cast off other so we can get it deeper, which works really well. Secondary technique, and it's going to sound kind of weird, but if you find spadefish and they're deep, or they're being really skittish about the kayak, go ahead, go upstream, up current, drop down and anchor. Anchor up if you can, okay? And then same kind of rig, but about 5 feet up from the hook, I'm going to add a cigar float or an old-fashioned, you know, bluegill float, okay? And I'm going to send it back in that current, and I can get it to where I want it to go and just hold position there, using a little bit heavier split shot to hold it straight down underneath you. But that's a great technique, especially if they're being really shy, which is just, you know, you're sitting there, and all of a sudden that float goes under real tight and comes, you know, it's just so much fun. I love catching spadefish. I really enjoy eating them too. You know, you're going to want some of the larger spades to really eat well. We're talking 15 inches long is, you know, where you're going to get it. Make sure you have a really sharp knife. They do have armor for skin. It's a lot of fun. If you have any questions, anyone use CP? Don't know what that is, buddy. The triggers aren't in the bay, but in October they will be around the island. And while we're talking about spadefish, might as well talk about triggerfish. They get a bad rap as bait stealers, but if you get in a bunch of triggerfish, using a high-low rig is great. Little piece of shrimp, little piece of clam, same hook, size 3 hook. They do have really small mouths, but I'll boost up my my leader size to a 20 or 30 pound fluorocarbon. I use music CDs. I use old AOL CDs from when I'm trolling for tuna. Use a high speed bit, drill some holes in them, make a daisy chain, Arlie. When it goes to the water while you're trolling for tuna, marlin, stuff like that, that bubble trail that comes off it in the flash really brings up tuna really well.
Hey.
Yo, what's up, man?
Triggers are the pork chop of the ocean.
Oh, they are, man.
Let me tell you what, down here, folks don't know how to target them down here, like really, really target them. And whenever I go bottom fishing, I don't do it out of the kayak because it's too far out to go for our trigger fish.
Right.
But when we catch our trigger fish here, we'll, like you say, use a high-low type rig, or chicken shit rig is what we call them.
Yep.
And I use 4-0, believe it or not, 4-0 octopus hooks from Owner. And I'll take a squid. I'll use a squid head and cut a squid in about 4 more pieces. Squid head on one hook, you know, body section on another hook, drop it down, reel it about 15, 20 feet up off the bottom. and it's all day long. And we don't have a limit on them down here as far as bag limit. So you can, like, literally keep an entire boat full. And one day, my personal record, one day, one stop, about 45 minutes of trigger fishing, I had 45 of them in the cooler. And not one of them was under, not one of them was under 4 pounds. Yeah.
Nice.
And yeah, they definitely suck as far as cleaning, but the trick to cleaning a triggerfish is having a relatively sharp knife. It doesn't have to be Ginsu sharp or anything like that. And cut from the inside of the fish out. Don't try and fillet it like you fillet a trout or a flounder or a striper, where you're trying to just cut, you know, from the outside in, make an entry point hole using the point of the knife, and then cut,
right,
flip the blade upside down and cut from the inside of the skin to the outside of the skin. And even a relatively dull knife will cut through a triggerfish that way.
Yeah, I sort of tail, make my two incisions, and then just kind of zip it. And I use a smaller gapped serrated knife, so I don't have to sharpen it as much. Works great for me, personally. once you get that hole in that skin, then it's just, you know, back to business as usual. But yeah, getting through that hide is definitely you need a Sawzall to clean that triggerfish. yeah, once you get through that, it's just, you're golden. I love triggerfish, man. They're so darn good, man. Oh my. Oh, so worth it. And you know, up here, no one barely eats them, man. No one barely keeps them. And it's just a shame. But yeah, you can catch triggerfish where you catch spades. You can catch, you know, them around pylons and buoys and stuff like that. I want triggerfish now at the boondoggle. We got some hosses up here, brother. I've seen some really big triggers being caught last year. So they should be in here hopefully soon. We need a couple more degrees and they'll be golden. Make it happen. We will, man. We will. Drop a live spot down, catch your flounder while you're catching triggers at the same time. But if you have any questions, folks, feel free to give me a call at any time. My number is 757-263-0854. More than willing to answer any of your questions. Remember, if you want to talk to someone down in Florida, you always got Redfish Chuck. Check him out at chuckskayakadventures.com. You have a lot of fun with him. Always do. I will be a happy boondoggly. Yes, you will. Check out my website, ManyCrewKayakFishing.com. If you want to set up a trip or just want to get in hold of me, feel free. At any time, I've actually talked to a guy about 3 hours today about catching amberjack. So it's a lot of fun. Arlie, get a hold of me. Shameless plug time. Jackson Kayaks. Can't say enough about them. 2 to 3 foot offshore swells, no issues. 40 plus inch amberjack, no issues. Love the boats, the Cuda, the Big Tuna. Definitely check them out at jacksonkayak.com. Abduma fishing, you hear me talk about it. Fishing shouldn't be expensive. If you don't believe me, check out the Makira line of reels. YouTube has a video from Sharkbait out in California how they explain the Makira international style reels. You can't go wrong with them, I'm telling you. Check out Akuma. You'll be pleasantly surprised. Must-have, the Hook a Million Challenge. Okay? Register on mustad.com. Use a mustad hook with any of the preferred or the preset fish, and you'll get on them. Catch that record and line your pockets. All right. Spro, You hear me talk about them? The Spurled Bucktails and Bunker and the Blue Back White Belly. You didn't hear from me. In ounce size or half ounce size, depending how deep you are, will not catch flounder in the bay or cobia or drum or anything. I'm just saying. So check out Spro. Let's see here. I think that's it. Remember, folks, every night of the work week, you can get a hold of any of us on any of the shows, because Monday night is the Monday night kickoff show. All I need is the music from ABC or CBS, whatever it is. Chuck Show, a lot of fun there. Oh, thank you. Slayer Inc. I can't believe I forgot him. Chris is going to kick my butt. If you don't know, now you know. Slayer Inc., SST, you hear us all talking about it. Going, why should I use Slayer? Because they are the baddest baits, soft plastic paddle tails for any inshore species. I tell you what, folks, slow roll yourself a Slayer SST past any trout, redfish, striper, blue, flounder. Yeah, I said it, flounder. On a non-scented bait, well, guess what? These are scented. Awesome. Yeah, they're the baddest band, too. I'm telling you, those Slayer Inc. baits do work. Slayer jig heads? Yeah. Get you some Destroyer jig heads? Yeah, I was catching big 40-inch drum, 50-inch drum on a Slayer jig head. You can't say that about most jig heads out there. They will do work for you. So definitely check out SlayerInc.com, get you some. Yeah. All right. Probably missed a couple shameless plugs. I do apologize. Remember, Monday night is Chuck's show. Tuesday night's Double L show with Mark and Chris Lozier. Wednesday night, my night. Thursday night is the original, the baddest, Chip the Tree Hugger Gibson. Great show tomorrow night, hopefully, there, buddy. Friday night is the Spike Show with Isaac the Nothing Miller. Check that out. West Coast, 11 o'clock. Everything else is at 8 p.m. Eastern. I have children looking at me, ready for bed. I got to go. Yes, and I made it an hour. Woohoo! Hope everyone has a great weekend. It's going to look great for everyone. Get out there. Get some fish. I want to see some reports. Good night, everybody. Oh, almost forgot. If you're in the Virginia Beach, Virginia area, Central Virginia, at Maddox River Company, paddleva.com. Their demo day, the big one, is coming up this weekend on Saturday. Come out there. Say hello to me. You can't miss me. I'll be wearing the Jackson Kayaks looking bad shirt. Paddle Jackson Kayak and never paddle anything else. All right, with that, I say good night. Have a great weekend. Take a kid fishing. Always wear your PFD and get some. Good night, everybody.